Hi, I'm Azit.
Hi, I'm Bali, and welcome
to the Dietitian Frequency.
Every time I say after we end the Dietitian Frequency, I want to do our theme song. And then it goes, and then it keeps quiet again, and then.
No, Noble makes songs. Thank you for that one.
Thank you so much. They hooked us up with such a great. I think actually, one of these days we must just play the whole thing for the people, because I don't think they're giving it the respect that theme song deserves.
That's like 3 minutes, 40
Maybe
seconds.
Maybe we must give them the 3 minutes on the last episode of this season. Yeah. Just give them the 3 minutes and all they will hear is our full theme song.
We'll play it at the end. I really like that idea.
Okay. Anyway, today we've got a fantastic dietitian. You know, we see dietitians on social media and they start and then the consistency drops because life happens and they stop posting. But this girl, ever since I met, I knew her every single day.
She's at it.
Proper content, like educational content. And she pays attention to detail into presenting it in a more like acceptable way for the majority of the people.
Definitely. So this, honestly, we had a really great conversation. We were speaking about fasting, religious fasting in general. So it was really informative. And I mean, I know fasting periods have just passed just recently, but I think this will be useful for anyone who wants to know more about it moving forward. And this can always be a point of reference.
Mm.
But yeah, Aziza was a really great dietitian to have on. She's based in Cape Town. Mm. She studied at Stellenbosch. She's currently working in different hospitals. She has her own online coaching service as well. Like,
and she just completed a coaching certificate recently, which did. I think is it's just works well because she's a dietitian profession. And with the coaching certificate, she's able to then apply those methods of coaching into when she does her one-on-one consultations. You know,
it's amazing. And to have someone who's a nutrition coach who is actually a dietitian who can call herself a nutrition coach at the same time is also pretty amazing, I think. So,
because we know that in South Africa, you can call yourself a nutrition coach all you want, but if you don't have a qualification as a dietitian or a nutritionist, a degree in that, or a dietitian nutritionist, then
you could be locked up for
it's a mess. Yeah, because I mean, you did a fantastic post on that, actually, the new legislation around that as to who can call themselves the nutrition experts. And a lot of people call themselves all those names and they are not, they can actually be.
They can be reported, they can be arrested. And I think.
The thing true. Is, a lot of people who are not dietitians, and I think it's because maybe we are not forceful, perhaps in our marketing. I think because we respect the guide that we get from the Healthcare Professionals Council of South Africa, HPCSA, that we should have been canvassing and doing all of that. People find it easy because they are not governed by that body to just say all these untrue statements and they are not questioned. And unfortunately, the society we live in, people want that shock therapy, like, wow, you're going to lose weight in 24 hours.
Exactly.
And because we don't say that, we become unpopular and we become like, ugh. And everybody else who says you're going to lose weight in 24 hours become the best human beings ever. And everybody just like, wow, so many views. And here we are, dietitians screaming like, oh my gosh, it's our profession.
Exactly. So that's why people like Aziza just make sense.
Yeah.
People who can say, yes, I am a coach. I'm a nutrition coach. I'm a dietitian. I have qualified. The backing. I'm qualified. Yeah. So if you are a person who's out there and you are calling yourself a nutritionist, a nutrition coach, any kind of diet planner,
show us the receipt,
whatever it is. We need to see, are you registered? Are you a registered nutritionist who is under the Healthcare Professions Council of South Africa? Because if you're not, you can get locked up or you can pay a very heavy fine,
or we can tell you to sit down.
Yeah, but we can rather we tell you to sit down in jail. Because that's where you'll be going.
That's where you're going. So basically, anyway. I think we are saying that you have to be registered under HPCSA for one to be a nutrition expert in that way in South Africa.
Exactly.
So Aziza,
this is going to be a great episode. So
yeah,
we hope you enjoy it.
Sure. We're here.
Another episode.
Wow, it's been a jam-packed
episode.
Yeah.
And today we are joined. I met her, obviously, through social media because these days we meet everyone through social media.
Exactly.
I met this human being 2 years ago, I think, roundabout, just under 2 years, on social media. And I post after post, the story I kept on saying to myself, like, what? I feel like everyone should be following this dietitian.
Yeah.
Because she just kept on being jams after jams after jams. And the consistency that came with that, you know, and you can see the passion, you can feel the passion through her posts. Oh my goodness. Who do we have today?
We have a registered dietitian, of course, once again. And we actually know each other. We studied together at the
University.
Yeah, so we go way back. But I actually want to give Aziza a moment to introduce herself.
100%.
So Aziza, take it away. Let the people know who you are.
You're putting me on the spot now, eh? Hey, everyone. It's Life with Aziza. So basically, I'm Aziza, a registered dietitian, but also a curious human being who has too many interests in life, loves talking, and basically just wants to create a space that mobilizes conversation, makes you think about life, and just gets you talking and connecting with others. That's basically me in a nutshell.
And you are a dietitian, registered dietitian, so I'll be right.
Yeah.
Okay. And where are you based?
So I'm based in Cape Town, virtually and virtually I'm based everywhere, obviously. Mm-hmm. But physically I'm based in Cape Town. I run a practice and do a bit of clinical work on the side.
Oh, a little bit of clinical work. I didn't know you were still doing clinical.
Yeah, we're gonna dive in a bit on that clinical work. But welcome to this frequency. I like calling Aziza Z, and I'm gonna be referring to her Z. Mm. We've got a thing here, a snippet, call it a game, call it an icebreaker, call it whatever you wanna call it. But we call it 5 in 5. Mm. So basically it is 5 questions and in 5 minutes. And you can choose to spend a whole 5 minutes on one question, or you can, spread it out. It's time. So 5 minutes, when your 5 minutes is up, it doesn't matter if we did interrupt you or not. Yeah. 5 minutes is up. We're very strict here.
Okay. When it's done, it's done. Maybe let me do the 5 questions this time, bro.
Just 100%. To start and I'm gonna be doing the timer. So. Okay. Here we go. We know that this has a lot to say. So I want to see this one. I want to see if you're definitely going to be able to answer 5 questions in 5 minutes.
I'm gonna aim for the 5 questions.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Ready? Let's start. Yes. Okay. So what's something people seem to misunderstand about you?
These are like hectic questions.
Exactly. That's why they call us the dietitian frequency.
We're just on that
page. I overcompensated, yeah. Anyway, so something people misunderstand about me, seem to misunderstand.
When they first meet you, what sort of misconceptions have they said?
They think I'm quiet and reserved. So when I open my mouth, it's like, oh my word. Yeah.
She's got I thought you were, but you probably thought I was too. I feel like I wasn't that, like, I was very in my shell when I was in Boston. I was only, like, loud around people that I really knew. Mm-hmm. But when I was in class, I was kind of just like that person.
Yeah.
Or is that my own?
Yeah. No, I think the both of us were, like, we were quiet. But then, like, I remember there were times when we would sit, like, and we'll just talk and like for like solid 30 minutes straight. And people look and be like, where is this coming from?
I remember that used to happen a lot in third year. I think third year and final year when we would have those small pockets. So yeah, no, I feel like if we hadn't been so reserved, we definitely would have been friends. Like we missed out. We played ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question.
This is 5 and 5, by the way.
Yes.
It's not 15, 5 and 5.
Getting too comfortable here. Yeah. Okay. What makes you feel inspired or like the best of?
Inspired. This is going to sound so corny, so corny, but I really do feel inspired when I see other people thrive for some reason.
Oh.
So like when I get energy from other people like winning, and then it just makes me want to win as well. So,
but I can attest to that. She's one person who, if she sees a post and she will, even if she, I think sometimes even if Z doesn't relate to me, she's like, it's my favorite person who, it's Aziz Bali. I would like, hopefully.
She'll like it, she'll come in. Or she'll repost, she'll do something.
She'll
never not do something.
No! 100%.
So thank you. Energy, always. And it's so like authentic. I think that's
very
like,
so.
It's not like, I'm sharing because I want you to share my back.
No.
It's like, I'm sharing it because I think this is impactful. I think it's cool. Someone can learn something. Okay, next one. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
I got it. Give yourself space to be yourself.
Yeah.
And it's because it's because especially we live in the digital age, we live in the social media age. Mm-hmm. So we feel like we need to conform to a norm. And it's like, why not just be yourself? And even this morning, I saw this really cool post about you don't find your voice on social media. I think it was by Mighty Wood. You don't find yourself on your voice on social media. You use the voice that you have on social media. Wow. And I thought it was so like mind-blowing.
Sure.
Yeah,
it's very amazing because sometimes we think we gotta find our voice on social media, you know.
Yeah.
And no.
It's not like that at all.
Okay.
Okay, next question. If you had to turn back time and talk to your 18-year-old self, what would you tell them and why?
She's doing great. And I would tell her to forgive her past self as well. Because we don't realize that what we do when we're younger, it's what we believe is what we're supposed to be doing at the time. And like, we can reflect and be like, what the hell was I thinking back then? But like in that moment, it's like, that is what I did because it was what I thought I needed to do.
So the last question, I think that we have to use on 5 by 5 is, yeah, what would your parents describe what you do for a living?
I can't answer this because I feel like this wouldn't be fair because both of my parents are healthcare workers.
Oh, so yours is the odd situation.
Yeah, it's like they know they can tell people exactly what I do. But if other family members try and like describe it, it's like she puts people on diet.
She
makes diet plans. She helps you lose weight. And it's like, do I though?
I really do. Sometimes that. No. Sometimes yes, maybe sometimes no. Yeah. Okay, I think that's all we have. What did we actually?
No, there's one more. No, we still have time. You remember that one that we asked him in terms of if you were? We asked that one. Your 18-year-old self.
Yeah, she said that you're doing great.
You're doing great. Okay, doing great. We did very well. We did very well. I mean, I have to give it to you. So, Z, I think let's, you know, dive into the crust of this episode in terms of what we wanted to discuss with you, what we want to talk about. I mean, it's a chill conversation, but, you know, you are a very woke person, if I can use that word. Yes, I use woke.
Yeah. You're young enough to use it.
She trolls me this one and says I'm old. So, yes, I said it, woke. I think you're a very woke dietitian, you know, in terms of not only focusing on nutrition matters, but just focusing on societal issues, injustices all over the world and all those matters. And, you know, we also wanted to just jump on that, but with the focus on religious fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that one will think, oh, they're just going to talk about how to fast in a healthy way. But we want to have a conversation deeper than that, in a way whereby a person who's fasting, especially doing religious fasting, can walk away from this conversation and be like, you know, as food for thought, this is what I gained from this. And I think, what are some of the religious fasting examples that you know of? And maybe if you know some of those, and how do they differ from your typical intermittent fasting for the purposes of weight loss? Just a bit on that.
Yeah. So there's quite a lot of different ways to fast. When you sent me the brief, I actually Googled a little bit as well, just to like, out of interest also. And I was shocked that there were so many more that I didn't know of. So like you get like how Muslims fast, which is like during Ramadan from sunrise to sunset. And that's no food, no water. Yes, not even water. Because I know that's one question people always ask, like, not even water? Mm-hmm. Yes, not even water. Then you have Lent, which is giving up one thing for 40 days or a couple of things, as the way I understand it. And then you have a wet fast where you give up food, but you can still have fluids. In Judaism, you have quite a few fasts. And even in the Vedic religions and in Hinduism as well, they have different forms of fasting where you either give up one form of food or you don't eat any meat for a certain amount of time, or you completely give up food for a certain period of time. So it's quite interesting to see how the different religions, different cultures have different variations of fasting. But it's also quite interesting to see that the common thread behind it is to like make yourself more aware and bring yourself closer to yourself and closer to your surroundings and the universe, or closer to spirit or God or whatever you want to label it as.
I think also when it comes to religious fasting, it's really important to understand it is very personal. That's a lot more complex than people might realize. It's a complex subject. And I think people are very quick to like just attack fasting in general or to question it. So in a setting of just being a healthcare worker, we have clients who have different disease conditions. How can you equip healthcare professionals to be a lot more sensitive in terms of approaching any of their clients who may be fasting, or how can they equip them in that kind of situation in their approach?
So like you said, as it is quite personal. You have the various different ways to fast, different based on religion or culture, and within that, based on the individual, they have like different outcomes or different intentions during the fast or when they are fasting. And I think when it comes to healthcare workers or an individual approaching the healthcare worker, even, it's that thing about transparency, of being open, saying, like, look, I'm fasting or I'm intending to fast, and can you just support me? And from a healthcare worker's point of view, it's that being open to it, because especially in today's day and age where you have intermittent fasting, you have intuitive fasting, that thing that happened in 2021. A lot of the times we healthcare professionals also have biases, also have stereotypes within them. So it's like, for example, if someone goes to a dietitian, says they're fasting, that person may not be Muslim, that person may not be Christian, the person may not be Jewish, they might be some other religion, they might not even be a religious person and just decided to fast for spiritual or internal reasons. So it's to be, I feel like with health professionals, we should be open to the person that's coming to us and listening to why they are fasting, what the intentions are for fasting and not just thinking about the stereotypical or the more mainstream reasons behind fasting.
Yeah, I like that fact also, that it's not always going to be somebody who's going to do a spiritual fast. I think that's a better word to use, spiritual fast, because it includes people who are doing it for religious, who are belonging to a specific religion, but also people who just want to, you know, do internal search and they're not necessarily religious, more spiritual, you know, connections. And I think when, I like what you said also, Z, that as healthcare professionals ourselves, we've got our own biases, and one would look at it and discard it in their mind because they don't associate with that specific religion and they don't understand. Mm-hmm. And I guess this is where the conversation of choosing to work with healthcare professionals, whether it's dietitians or your doctor, someone who will understand your background, someone who will understand the type of life that you need. And in that way, they'll be able to support you better should you do a spiritual / religious fast.
Or even someone who has the sensitivity to be able to do their research on it.
Yeah.
Because as much as it might not be a religion that you practice in,
mm-hmm.
we do research on our careers all the time. We're always having to do continuous professional development. The fact that we can't, or some people won't do research on certain religious fasting is just, I think it's an area we need to shed light in.
Yeah.
We need to encourage people to approach it the same way
research,
we
yeah.
approach it in any way, just making sure you're up to date,
yeah.
you're up to scratch with your research on various religions, you know that you're in an area
yeah.
that services a certain religion, just like if you know that you're in an area that services a specific language,
yeah.
that you would need to do your research and try and learn that language at the very least. But
yeah.
do people
yes.
do it?
No.
Not really.
When I started in private practice, I worked in a very Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there for maybe 8 months. By the 8th month, I was so convinced that I'm going to do it. I knew a lot. I mean, I'm Christian, but I just fell so much in love with the religion, and it was not more. It was not more about falling in love with Jewish as a religion itself, but I think I could relate to the religion culture because I'm Christian,
mm-hmm.
and I knew so. I had researched and learned so much about the Jewish religion. Judaism, to a point where I was like, okay, this is it. I'm ready. I mean, I'm ready to be a Jew. I mean, I learned how to bake challah bread because every Friday is challah. And as a healthcare, as a dietitian, you can't really say, oh, just don't eat challah. It's part of the practices that one is doing every Friday for Shabbat. And you then have to be sensitive to Judaism. You have to be sensitive to the Islamic religion. You have to be sensitive to Christianity. Depending on who you're servicing.
Exactly.
I think the next thing is that then, you know, what impact does fasting, and here I'm talking about spiritual / religious fasting, potentially have on someone's health?
Mm-hmm.
And this could be positive or negative impact, but what sort of impact, how can we unpack that?
So I think it is based on the individual as well,
yeah.
and what their needs are, what their relationship with not just food but their life in general is. So currently there's no indication that religious fasting is detrimental to our well-being, because we do it, well, for religious fasting is usually for short periods of time, not prolonged periods. If I look, I can't speak for other religions, but if I look at Ramadan specifically, we only do it for 30 days. And mm. depending on where you are in the world, that the duration of the fasting for the day changes based on the lunar calendar. So for a few years, it can be in summer. For a few years, it can be in winter. And specifically in South Africa, we're quite lucky in a way, because if you think about it, in summer, it's not like the northern hemisphere, the northern part of the world, where they have sunlight for 20 hours a day.
Yeah.
So it does vary on the individual and also what the intention is for fasting.
Mm.
So a lot of people, and I've come across this a lot, is people try and it is a reality where people try like dieting when they're fasting because, oh, I'm cutting out certain foods, or I'm cutting out food completely for a certain amount of hours for the day. Let me try to lose weight, because that is one of the main things people try. And then it becomes detrimental, because then you're almost losing, I want to say you're almost losing the purpose of why you're actually fasting, regardless of what type of religious fast you're doing, because then you're making it more about your food and more about losing weight or dieting, rather than actually bringing your, building that awareness and self-reflection, which fasting is one of the main things, in my opinion, that fasting is used for.
Wow. Interesting. I think just running off of that, of course, let's say you're in a circumstance where someone has had, they've just finished Ramadan fasting and they've lost weight, and now there's people who are making comments on this weight loss. What's your opinion on that, and how do you think these comments could affect someone?
So this is something that I learned recently as well. So it's when it comes to fasting or even the weight, the you lost weight comment, it falls under that category of, let's take it from like communal cultures. So if you come from a cultural background that's very community-based, you unfortunately you'll get those questions of, why aren't you married yet? Why don't you have kids? Why don't you have a job? X, Y, and Z. And it's those questions that, firstly, it's no one's business.
Yeah.
Why you lost weight, why you gained weight, or even it's no one's business of, you get the questions of, oh, why aren't you fasting? It's none of your business. I mean, the person could have an eating disorder, the person could have a medical condition, could be pregnant, X, Y, Z. And it's those questions that, unfortunately, it is a reality. And people will react to it differently. So some people just brush it off. Other people will take offense to it. And it I wouldn't know what to say to someone who is the target of those questions, because how I would deal with it would be different to how that person would deal with it. And maybe the way I deal with it isn't conducive to that person needing to deal with it.
And I think from that, what has, you know, as a dietitian yourself, what have been your personal struggles with fasting and health or body image or disordered eating or something like that? Any health-related struggle with, I mean, even if it's, you know, not health-related, but what has, what sort of personal struggles have you had with spiritual fasting?
That's quite a good question. It's never, like, no one's ever asked me that before. It's actually quite a head scratcher, to be honest. But if I think about just growing up or even being at university, I used to get the questions of not even water, or what if you accidentally eat something? And it's more social questions that I've experienced outside of dietetics. And as a dietitian, it's more internal struggle of, am I eating enough? Am I getting my macros in? Am I getting enough micronutrients in, fluid in? And when those questions arise, I remind myself why. It always goes back to, what is the purpose of fasting? Why am I doing that? Is it because of food, or is it because I want more self-awareness, more reflection? I want to become more grounded. Because at the end of the day, fasting isn't really about food. But we're so ingrained, especially with social media and teens nowadays, fasting has become a dieting thing. So and it just shows that you can be as up to date, as educated, you can be a dietitian, but these thoughts will still at times run through your mind.
And I think the assumption would be that she's a dietitian. She should know how to meet her macros, even if she is during a fast. And I like that, you know, honesty and vulnerability on that point. And I think even if it wasn't for religious fasting in general, I mean, when it comes to our personal struggles with health, and we are always thinking, oh, am I meeting enough? Because we know the theory says, and believing the theory, now you're thinking, okay, let's look at me. Am I meeting my macros? Am I doing it right?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think just to segue into the next question then, what would you say, like, how could someone make sure that they're getting in enough? Are there any strategies that you would kind of implement or suggest to anyone who's Ramadan fasting, just so that they can make sure that during those eating periods or windows, they can get in good nutrition?
So there are some genetic things, like whenever someone asks me like regarding fasting, it's quite a difficult question, because if we just look at the South African population, I mean, you can have the Indian person who fasts, you can have a Khoza person who fasts during Ramadan, you can have a person from Portuguese descent, you can have a Malay person that's fasting, and each of their needs and their backgrounds are so different, and the food that they have access to is so different. But regarding tips, it's more about genetic tips, like, for example, your water requirement. So obviously, your water requirement is going to be, your fluid requirement is going to be much less. So I always tell people, just make sure in the morning or specific, more not really in the morning, because the window of eating is much less, but after you break your fast, like during that time that you are allowed to eat, don't try and gulp water. Take sips, eat fruit, just take it slow. And the same with what you are eating, take it slow. I mean, you haven't put anything into your GIT for a couple of hours, whether it be 12 hours during now in March, we will be actually fasting for 12 hours, or whether it's 10 hours in winter, you haven't put anything into your body. So your body needs to get used to eating again. So take it slow. Even if you cut up your meals in that window period that you can eat, have something light when you break your fast. So like a date, for example, soup. The weather is cold enough just to have a bit of soup. And then maybe have a small meal after prayer time, and then another small meal later on, and just break it down. And this is where the genetic tips of your fiber day, making sure you get fiber in, making sure you get all your macros in, can become very stressful for some people.
Yeah.
Because now they're so hyper-fixated on, I need to get my fiber day in. Do I have enough fiber? Did I have enough carbohydrates? What type of carbohydrates am I eating? And it's more, and then it again becomes about the food that you are eating rather than what the fast is actually about. So keep hydrated, keep your food simple, focus on foods that you enjoy. And like I said before, when people try and do dieting or restrictions, this isn't a time for that. This is a time not even to focus on your physical well-being. It's to focus on your social and your mental well-being more than anything else. Your physical well-being, your nutritional well-being is there to support and supplement during this time.
Sure. I feel like this conversation is definitely needed. And it's one of those conversations that one can overlook, but crucial. So this brings us to the end of this amazing session. Ah, thank you.
It feels like it went by so quickly. Why does it feel like it went by so quickly?
Thank you so much.
This is such an engaging conversation. And I'm also like, wow, I think we have a lot to learn from one another. And I think people need to be a lot more informed. They need to inform themselves as much as they may want to ask Aziza, who sits at this and this spot, that they know in class or wherever, whoever it is that they know who has any religious fasting practices. I think it's also important for people to do their own research, because they don't want, I think the main thing you also want to prevent is anyone's ignorance being offensive.
Yeah.
So if you are someone who's not aware and not clued up, doesn't matter if you're like a health professional or which industry you're in, clue yourself up. We all have Google, we all have all the different research platforms.
100%. Any last word, take away, anything that you want people to walk away with from this podcast today, from this episode? 30 seconds.
So I think just to remember, like, again, going back to the intention of why you're doing it, and especially for people that can't fast. There are people who can't, who are unable to, and it is quite difficult for these people because they feel disconnected. But there are other ways to ground yourself and be connected to yourself, to the universe, to spirit, to God, and just to be more gentle with yourself, especially during this time. Especially because for some reason, it's a very strange feeling, but let's say about 2 weeks before the fast starts. From a personal point of view, I can feel my body needing it. Like my mental health, my physical health, and my social health needs that cleansing, that fasting, and that whole month sort of brings. It might sound strange. So there are other, and there might be other people that feel the same. And if they can't fast or they're unable to, there are other ways that you can connect and you can take that cleanse. So it's to be gentle with yourself.
Wow. That was amazing.
That was such a great episode.
And I like her. She speaks so calmly. And
she has so much knowledge to offer. And she really knows what she's talking about. And I really like her approach in this. I mean, we covered so many ways of fasting, different types of fasting. And I think anyone who's interested in fasting in general will find it very useful. And I mean, there's benefits of fasting for sure.
Yeah.
There are benefits, but there's a lot of mental strength that you need.
And I like the fact that we spoke about Ramadan. Of course, Ramadan now has passed, but that is one of the biggest fasting periods that we know of. And she really handled that very well. And this is what it is.
Exactly. And she brought the science. She brought it. It was great. Yeah.
Cool. Bye.
See you next week. Or you'll hear us next week. That actually makes more sense.